It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy till day's end. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, enjoy day, the Refreshing.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to worship. It's the Worship and Wellness Broadcast. We thank you all for joining us for worship this morning. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. This is Thursday, the 22nd of July. We are grateful, and we want to tell God about it. My wife, undreamed of, will take us to the throne of grace at this time.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time to come together and to have worship. And now we ask that your spirit will be with us as we are fed fresh manna from heaven. Please anoint the words of our pastor. Fill him with your spirit. And as always, we want to be able to draw nigh to you as we ask that you would help us to grow in grace and in wisdom. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Okay, let me get something right here. Okay, there we go. All right, brothers and sisters, our opening song is It's About Time for the Coming of Christ. Our theme, opening, and closing song come from the Master's Chorale.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time, O Christian. It's about time. It's about time, O Christian. It's about time.
Amen. Praise the Lord, my brothers and sisters. It's time now for us to get to our worship thought. The question I want to ask is, would you do what Abram did? Now, Abram was his name at birth, and then God changed his name to Abraham. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for your love. Thank you for all that you do. Thank you for your kindness and grace. And we give you praise, glory, and honor for all of your mercies. We ask that your name will be glorified in all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, my brothers and sisters, at this time, we're looking at Genesis chapter 12. You could have called this the call of Abraham, but I want us to really think as we study this, because as we talk about, this is a baptismal class, brothers and sisters, we are talking about a people who want to go forward and do all and give all for Christ, who make a total surrender to Christ. Would you do what Abram did? Let's read on. It says, let's read, now the Lord had said to Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Now I want us to pause, okay? I've got to leave the majority of my family, because we'll see he took Lot, and of course he took his immediate family with him, but all of his, you know, extended family and kindred. God said, I want you to leave all of them. And you see, brothers and sisters, sometimes God has to get you away from familiar people that are familiar with you because they don't have faith and they would hinder your walk with God. Sometimes God is calling you to do some things and your family, sometimes families all grow up in the same church and the church doesn't teach the truth. But because the family, it's a family tradition, it's hard to pull away. Would you do what Abram did? Now, not only that, hard to pull away. Sometimes I believe God did that because there would be hindrances in the family, from the family. And also, he didn't tell him, Abram, where he was going. So, Abram, where are you going? I don't know. I just know God is leading. You see, brothers and sisters, that's what we have to do. That's why these stories are in the Bible, because God wants us to have the kind of faith where we would hear his voice. So that's the first thing. We need to be in a position where we hear God's voice, okay? God's voice is a wonderful voice. It's wonderful to commune with him, to be led by his spirit, brothers and sisters. It is just tremendous. There's nothing better than communion with God. And so Abram prized that. And that's why he was chosen, because he wanted to talk to God. It was more important to talk to God than to do anything else, than to hear what the world had to say, than to watch the news, than to watch this on TV, than to hear this on the radio or have a conversation with this friend or family. He prized the voice of God. So that is key, brothers and sisters. Would you do what Abram did? And I want you all to understand, God takes us through experiences to build our faith. We're going to see that in Abram's life. And I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. So watch this. God, if he has you on a journey, it's because he wants to bless you and make you a blessing. Then if you had to summarize why we're here to be blessed and to be a blessing. And you see, a lot of people just want to be blessed. They don't want to be a blessing. You know, God is going to give his son. He's going to make a sacrifice in blessing us. Some people, if you have a whole lot, you'll give a little. Oh, yeah, I got to bless a few people. But you'll keep the majority of it for yourself. Brothers and sisters, if we don't have a mindset to truly make a sacrifice to help others, we're not going to make it into the kingdom. Jesus was the hardest thing to give up for the Father, but he did. For God so loved the world, the most popular scripture in the Bible, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So what God does is, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, Hebrews 13:5. Jesus Christ, the same today, yesterday, and forever. And so God is basically saying, brothers and sisters, that he will be a blessing to those who help you and he will be against those who hurt you. And so I am a living witness, brothers and sisters, that sometimes it's just a few faithful people that are hanging there with you, but God will bless them. And then those who turn against you, God can't bless them. And so, friends, this is always right to do the right thing. It's just always best to not lean on our own understanding and our own opinions and just to continue in the great good fight of faith. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. So my brothers and sisters, those of you who are in your golden ages, Abram began his journey with God when he was 75. So you have no excuse. You can't say, well, I'm too old to move forward with the Lord. No, you're not. Abram was 75, and he did take Lot with him. Now, that's a good thing, too. You should take somebody younger with you. If you have something good going, God has blessed you with some knowledge and some help, pass it on to a new generation. That's what Abram tried to do with Lot, of course, you know, and it was Abram's influence that made Lot a godly man, even though Lot had some selfishness. And Abram took Sarah, his wife, Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance and that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land into the place of Sichem, unto the plain of Moreh. And the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord, and he appeared unto him. You see, God never has you move forward without a promise. Now, you might not know what's going to befall you. You may not know what's going to happen. You may not know what you'll have to go through, but there's always a promise. That is what faith is. It is moving forward with God because of what God promised, brothers and sisters. And God is good. And he removed from this unto a mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. And there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. And it came to pass, when he was come near to enter into Egypt, that he said unto Sarai his wife, behold now, I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. Now, God had made a promise. I'm going to make you a great nation. And he, of course, didn't have any offspring. So he decided to compromise and lie. Now, Sarah, we'll say, was his half-sister. We'll read. So we find excuses sometimes, brothers and sisters, not to have strict integrity. God wants us to have strict integrity. Now, that doesn't mean you have to disclose everything to everybody, that you have to tell all your business, but you wouldn't lie. Not even a little white lie, as they call it, okay? So he said, Sarah, just say you're my sister. Let's not tell them you're my wife because they'll kill me. You know, he had a lack of faith. So God took Abram on this journey because Abram wanted to follow God, but God had to strengthen his faith because, as we can see, and God put these stories in the Bible so that we can see that they're just like us. Human nature has never changed. We want to follow God, but then we have some weaknesses, some areas where we need to grow, some areas where we need to surrender to the Lord, some areas where we're not, you know, in full compliance with what God wants us to do. All right. And it came to pass that when Abram was coming to Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman, that she was very fair. So, you know, if this nation called Egypt saw her, she must have been a beautiful sister. She must have been a real beautiful sister for them to, it just said they saw her. I mean, like there wouldn't be women like that in Egypt. I mean, you know, there's beautiful women all around, but there must have been something special about Sarah. It says, and it came to pass that when Abram was coming to Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman, that she was very fair. And the princes also of Pharaoh saw her and commended her before Pharaoh, and the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. And he entreated Abram well for her sake, and and he had sheep and oxen, and he asses and men servants and maid servants, and she asses and camels. And the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. You see, God was trying to save her, keep her from being corrupted in some evil man's bedroom. And yet all of that was caused because Abram had no faith. See, God could protect him from the Egyptians. But we see that Abram needed a strengthening of his faith. And so, you know, God is so merciful to us. He kind of slaps us on the hand. He lets us go through some things. I'm sure Abram was crying out to the Lord, and the Lord convicted him. You didn't tell the truth. See, when we don't do what's right, God can't protect us in the way that he wants to. But God is merciful. He knows. There's a scripture in the Bible. Let me try to find it. It's in Proverbs, I believe. Let's see. It's in Psalm 103:14. It says, "For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust." Now, well, you've heard that verse before, but let's break it down. If you've done, I've done some of this, so some of you all might know any carpenters out there. When you build a house the traditional way we do in America, there's framing. When you see a house that just has the frame, doesn't even have any siding on the walls, no roof, that's the beginning parts of that is called framing. Okay, so God says he knows your frame. Your frame provides the structural integrity of the house, okay? And it's how you're made up. God knows how you are made up, my brother. God knows how you are made up, my sister. And what does that mean? Well, you have a physical side. And there are certain things that your little frail bones might not be able to handle, and there are some things your bones, strong bones, might be able to handle, okay? You have an emotional frame. God knows what you can handle and emotionally, and he promises not to put more on us than we can bear. And so somebody else can handle certain types of emotional things, and it makes them stronger, but that same occurrence in your life would crush you. And so God meets out based on our frame. He knoweth our frame. He knows how you're made up. And, of course, you have a spiritual side. God knows what you've gone through and your faith and stuff like that. But let's move on. It says he remembered that we are dust. Well, dust is where you came from. The Lord formed man of the dust. He came from the dust. So, my brothers and sisters, God has already got in his mind. He already knows everything you've ever gone through. Because what we've gone through shapes who we are. Some of us, let's be real, have been abused. Some of that was physical abuse. Some of it was verbal abuse. Some of it was sexual abuse, both men and women. Okay? And God knows what happened to you. So let's do all we can to protect the children, brothers and sisters. I just wouldn't do a lot of the things that parents do these days, just letting their children go here, go there, stay all night here, stay all night there, and not be with the family. I wouldn't do a lot of the things that parents allow their children to do because you're allowing them to be in circumstances where abuse can happen, brothers and sisters. So that being said, I'm just here to tell you, God knows what you've gone through. And because God knows what you've gone through, he knows that you went through a traumatic experience. And so he's going to say, okay, I better not allow this to happen to him. I better not allow this to happen to her because they've been through certain things. And you see, brothers and sisters, because of what we've gone through in our childhood and in other circumstances, God meets out what is best for us and our growth. And so that's why we don't all go through the same thing. You know, some of us can remember the most traumatic experience, but it was a relationship that ended in a divorce or some other relationship like that. Up with the opposite sex, or sometimes same sex. God's trying to get your attention, okay? And a lot of people who are attracted to the same sex, they are attracted to the same sex because of something that happened in their childhood. Sometimes abuse from a sexual nature is not always painful, okay? It's not always painful. Sometimes it's pleasurable, but it's still perverted, brothers and sisters. And so that is how the young mind begins to associate that pleasure with someone of the same sex, okay, whether it's woman, whether it's man. So
Sometimes there's some kind of abusive situation where it is painful, and that often turns a woman to be a lesbian because she just has a distaste for men because of some things that have happened to her. Brothers and sisters, God knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. God is so wonderful. He knows how you're made up, and he knows what you've gone through. Now, he doesn't excuse sin. He doesn't excuse sin. See, the Bible, if you're a woman and you don't like, you're not attracted to men, the Bible says the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Well, if you have the Holy Ghost in your life, he can put that attraction to the right man in your life. If you are a man and you're attracted to men because of something, had that happened to you, God can put an attraction to of the right woman in your life. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. But you have to understand, you're not on this journey alone, brothers and sisters. God will walk with you. There's a beautiful, beautiful song. I like songs that talk about walking with God. And, you know, we need that, my brothers and sisters. I'm just looking at the Adventist hymnal. It says, I want Jesus to walk with me. You know that song. Have you heard it before? I want Jesus to walk with me. I want Jesus to walk with me. All along my pilgrim journey, I want Jesus to walk with me. And then there's another one. Oh, Master, let me walk with thee. Oh, Master, let me walk with thee in lowly paths of service free. Tell me thy secret, help me bear the strain of toil, the fret of care. And then there's, oh, let me walk with thee. Oh, let me walk with thee, my God, as Enoch walked in days of old. Place thou my trembling hand in thine, and sweet communion with me hold. Even though the path I may not see, yet, Jesus, let me walk with thee. Okay, brothers and sisters, these are the songs that talk about walking with God. There's one that's called, I'm not sure if I know this, Oh, for a closer walk with God, a calm and heavenly frame, a light to shine upon the road that leads me to the Lamb. I don't remember the tune right off the top of my head, but the bottom line is there. It's there. And then those are the ones that talk about us walking with God. Friends, that's what we want. You want to walk with God like Enoch. It's a relationship with God, okay? So God knoweth our frame. He remembers that we are dust. God knows you can trust him because he knows how you're made up physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and he knows where you came from, what happened to you in the past, some positive, some negative, and he tempers what he allows you to go through, my friend. God doesn't just put everything on us, things that we could not bear, okay? Very important that we understand that. All right, let's go back to our lesson. All right, so, of course, Abram is there in Egypt. And it says, and the Lord, verse 17, plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abraham's wife. It says, Abram's wife. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, what is it that thou hast done unto me? And why didst thou not tell me she was thy wife? Why sayest thou she is my sister? So I might have taken her to me to wife. Now therefore, behold thy wife, take her and go thy way. And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away, and his wife, and all they had. See, God has to sometimes slap us on the hand
He has to discipline. He has to punish. Punishment is not torture. The world teaches that, and the world in the church teaches that God tortures people, that you burn in hell forever. That is not in the Bible. It's not in the Bible. It's not in the Bible. The word forever, you have to let the Bible explain itself. The Bible says in the book of Jude, let's just go there as we close out, in the book of Jude, it tells us what forever actually means. If you go to Jude, it's only one chapter. In verse 7, it says, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. So it is eternal fire. Eternal means the punishment is eternal, the result of that punishment. When it was, God is basically saying, when I burn down Sodom, it's never coming back. So that punishment was eternal, okay? And the bottom line, brothers and sisters, when those in hell burn forever, they will be destroyed and never come back. That's what that means. Sodom and Gomorrah is the example of eternal fire, and it's not burning now. It's been discovered. Even the sulfur balls called brimstone have been discovered, brothers and sisters. And so we need to understand that that Jude 1 verse 7 helps us to understand. It's not, and the Bible says in other places they will be burnt up, okay? They'll be consumed. I don't want to live in heaven knowing that people just burn it in hell forever. If we believed what we teach, brothers and sisters, we'd make the devil burn. We'd make other people burn longer than the devil. How would you say that? Because you see that bad people are already dead. Bad people have been dead since the days of Cain. Did they go to hell, and have they been burning? Has Cain been burning for 6,000 years? Well, he's burning longer than the devil. How do you know? Because the devil is not burning. Because he's bothering you. He's bothering me. He's not burning in hell. Okay? So God wouldn't be fair, and the Bible says God is just. That means God is fair. Now, mercy means he's better than fair because we get something we don't deserve. Justice is when you get what you deserve. Mercy is when you get something better than what you deserve. And God is just, but he is merciful. To those who are having Abram walk, he will be merciful. Those who say, I want to follow Jesus wherever he goes, wherever he leads, I will follow. Those will have the mercy of God. Don't you want that, friends? So, friends, I just wanted to take some time as we walk through this journey of having a relationship with God. We can learn all about doctrines and all about what day is the Sabbath and all about this and that, but if we don't have an understand that God is walking you through a life experience where he wants to build your faith, but you are dealing with somebody who knows your frame, he remembers that you are dust. He knows how you're made up physically, mentally, spiritually, and emotionally, and he knows what you've gone through, the positive and the negative. But you can trust him. Amen? Let's close out. We'll be back talking about your kidneys, friends, and how to be good to your kidneys. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this message today. And we ask that as we are preparing for baptism, learning more about the Bible, that we will understand it's about a relationship with you, a walk with you, that we will sometimes have to leave family in order to follow you, for family would keep us from following you all the way. Help us, Lord, not to let family and ties of any nature pull us and keep us. In Jesus' name, amen. God is good, my brothers and sisters. May the Lord bless you, keep you, cause his face to shine upon you. At this time, we will have a transition with the torso song. May God bless you.
In the state of Pennsylvania, there's a one of a kind place where healing is the feeling, north of the Mason-Dixon line. You might think enter with diabetes and have it reversed by fasting and feasting on good food from the earth. In the state of Pennsylvania, there is help for your heart. Reverse hypertension with a brand new start. Need an answer to cancer? It may shock you to know God's healing plants are His natural chemo. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Your abnormalities may be autoimmune. Butter, meat, eggs and cheese line your greasy spoon. Get new freedom if you're bound to diseases the whole nine. Learn to eat from the ground north of the Mason-Dixon line. Do you feel enslaved? Are you stressed and depressed? Your life can be saved. You can feel refreshed. Now you need to be pampered and you need to find rest. So stop being hampered. This is life at its best. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, battle of the bulge will be your tattletale. When you look at the floor and you can't see your feet, just knock on our door. We will show you how to eat. Are you frying your brain with you can break every chain. Your addiction can stop. Smoking and drinking will give you a stroke. We will light up your life so you don't have to smoke. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. No disease at this time, but there's strife in your life. Ill treatment is a crime between husband and wife. If you need some advice, we will show you how you can get married twice by renewing your vow.
none of these diseases upon thee, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
This song that you hear is better than new birth, because year after year, more ashes to ashes, more earth to earth. Solomon said, why die before your time? If you think with your head, you're still in your prime. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might leave feeling fine. It's a home for the brave, in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Yes, you must come and see. And if you want to know, you must come and see.
Amen. We're going to be talking about how to be good to your kidneys. You know, friends, God has given us something, and Jesus made reference to it. He used it in an analogy of salvation. And I'm referring to the phrase in John 4:14, where it says, but whoso drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. So we're going to call it the water of life, the water of life. I don't know that there is actually a verse in the Bible that says water of life. It's in Revelation 21, verse 6. It says, and he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. So he's talking about salvation. He's using water as a symbol of what he provides for us in salvation. But friends, the beverage that we need to be consuming more than anything else is water. And water is freely given. It's been here before humanity was here. God formed, the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, that's water, and the Lord God moved, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light. So water was even here before there was light. So when God created the earth, he created this blob, so to speak, but water was part of that. When God created the heavens and the earth, water was there. And as a matter of fact, it may have been only a blob of water. I don't know, because, you know, he tells us how he made the heavens and the firmament, if that is the heavens, was created later. So the bottom line, brothers and sisters, is that we need plenty of water. How much water? Take your weight divided by two. That is the number of ounces that you need minimally every day. So I weigh about 150 pounds. I need 75, because 75 is half of 150. I need 75 ounces. Now, what we do is, when you think about a quart or a liter, for example, for those of you who are from countries that the metric system is used, it's about the same as a quart. A liter or quart is 32 ounces. So I know that 32 plus 32 is 64. So if I drink two quarts, I'm almost there. So 2.5 quarts. So I strive to get in about 3 quarts of water. Don't always do it, but I'm teaching because I'm trying to remind myself that this is an important practice, okay? 3 quarts, roughly, of water. Not quite that much, but I strive for about that, and that's what we should do. So if you weigh 200 pounds, you need 100 ounces of water. Well, guess what? A gallon is 124. So if you're getting in the 200 range, you might be drinking near a gallon. But guess what? If you need to lose weight, water combines with fat, and if you eat the right diet, fat and fiber, and it helps pull fat. I'm sorry, water combines with fiber to pull fat out of your body, okay? So the more water you drink, the more weight you'll lose, okay? And then you'll have to drink less water, all right? So let's get that water in. Water will help you reverse diabetes. Water will help you reverse almost any disease if you just drink more water. Very important beverage. Start in the morning early, drinking your water. Friends, I drink water before I start the broadcast and drink a little bit after the broadcast and move forward. Drink it not with the meal as the optimal time. The optimal time is between meals, and that's how you are good to your kidneys. That's one of the best things you can do. People who have kidney issues, kidney stones, things like high blood pressure and other things tend to, and diabetes, hurt the kidneys, but these are lifestyle diseases. And so if we just change our lifestyle, we can be over these diseases, friends. If we would just listen and obey, trust and obey God, we will be blessed. All right, that's how we're good to our kidneys. We're just encouraging you today to drink more water. All right, it's time for us to do roll call. We have, I'm not sure where everybody is actually from, brothers and sisters. And we have, let me see if I can figure out where this individual may be from. I am not sure, but it looks like Virginia. Praise God. We've got Virginia on Facebook. We've represented. We have the country of Kenya represented. We have the state of Georgia represented. And we have another dear one that I'm not so sure where he lives. We've got North Carolina mentioned, represented. Let me see if I can't find out where my dear brother lives, at least not just, the state. We just want the state. Nice to know where people are either watching or calling in from. Let's see here. I'm going to try to see if I can find some information just to see. Okay, looks like we got Canada. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you for joining us today. All right, then, we have on the call, we have Ohio again. We have Maryland. We have Delaware, and we have Georgia. Thank you all for joining us, and the phone lines are open. Just press *6, and while you're pressing *6, I'll go through Facebook. We have some good morning and blessings from Kenya. We have some good mornings from Georgia, and that was a beautiful song from Kenya. We have Jesus Walk With Me here in Kenya. Amen. Praise the Lord, and a good morning from North Carolina. If there is anyone that wants to share anything, please press *6. We've got 15 minutes to the top of the hour. I will tell you that I am looking down right now on a raccoon. We like to watch the deer, so we buy this corn. You can buy it at Tractor Supply. It's cheaper at Tractor Supply, but you can buy it at Lowe's and other places too, a little bit more expensive. But it's a big bag, 40-pound bag of deer corn. It's this hard corn, and the deer love it. And so we spread it out, or we put it in a certain area outside the window, and we can watch the deer. Well, the raccoons come, and they eat it all up from the deer. And so we have three traps, and so raccoons are one of the smartest mammals, period. They are very smart. But when it comes to their appetite, because they scrounge around and look for food at night, because they're so smart, they'll walk into a trap because they can generally get out of it. They've gotten themselves out of messes in the past. They can climb up stuff and do different things. Their claws are more like human fingers, and so they have more agility with their fingers. And so or their digits, as they would say, as we would say. But the bottom line is they can't get out of these traps. And so we trapped two yesterday, should have taken pictures, and then we take them to a local park, and then we just let them out in the woods, and they just have a new home. But we just said we better keep them out because sometimes they run in threes and fours. And I don't know if this one is in the same family, but I assume it might have been. And so we're going to take him so he can hear, or her, so he or she can join her family. So he had a rough night. He was flipping the trap over about two or three times, and so it's on the tree line, but it looks like a big old raccoon is in there. And so that's country life for you, brothers and sisters. Now, so that we don't get hurt, we have a trap that is time release. So the trap, when you set the trap, mine has two doors. Ours has two doors. So it opens up on both sides. You can go in this way, you can go in that way. So you put a little, whatever the bait is, outside the trap, and then a little bit inside the trap, and in the middle of the trap where they have to step on a plate that springs the trap, you put a whole bunch. They get tempted. You know, it's like, you know, we learned some things from how our walk with God is. You know, when we stay with Christ, he keeps us from the little temptations of the devil, okay? But they start by eating the stuff outside the trap, and then they eat a little bit, and they want more, and they just get a little bit in the trap, and then they see that big prize, that a big old large amount sitting on that plate, and they just go in. As soon as they step on that plate, it springs the trap, and the door is closed. And we have a handle, but the beautiful thing is it's humane. So there's on the side, there's a timer, and it has two latches. So the latches keep the door closed. I mean, the door that they go out of once they're trapped, there's a little side door that's totally separate from the trap doors that close down. Because you don't want to be trying to open that thing and having your hand close by and that thing come out and attack you because they're scared. So what you do is you turn the timer. It has a 5-minute timer. You can set it for 1 minute, 2 minute, 3 minute, 4 minute, 5 minutes, however way you want it, where you want to do it. And you can get away from it. Then you turn the timer, and the timer keeps the door closed, and then you undo the latches. It's spring loaded. So when the timer hits zero, it opens the door. And so it's a lot of spiritual lessons. We've seen those doors open, and that raccoon will just sit in there. He's watching us. Instead of looking toward freedom, he's looking at us. And we're on the other side. We're not trying to be on the side where he can come out. We're trying to be on the other side. So sometimes we actually have to get in our car and drive, act like we're driving away, and then he gets distracted, and he now starts looking around, and he had freedom already there for him. You see, so a lot of spiritual lessons there. God is offering us freedom, and we're looking around in our trap. We're trying to figure out how to get out of the trap. If we would just follow God, we'd have freedom. So anyway, that's what country life has been in the Fleming's home. That's our little country experience I thought I'd share with you. So we have to take another trap, but we have three traps set. So the only one got caught. So we think that that's a family of three. We caught the other two yesterday, but I had only two set out yesterday. That were actually, or did I? Yeah, only two were set yesterday. So if we had set all three, we would have probably caught all three. Raccoons, although they are very intelligent, they are very easy to catch in a trap. That's what we have learned. Unlike groundhogs. Groundhogs may not be so smart, but I tell you what, they're smart enough not to go in a trap. If you had to deal with a groundhog, which we don't, we just let them live because our garden is up. But when you have a garden on the ground, groundhog is going to deal with that garden. So we have 6x6 raised beds, you might say. We built these boxes, 6x6 grow boxes, I think that would be the technical term. And that's how we grow our food. We have four of them. We could use more, but we have four of them, and that's how we eat. Not all our food, but we're trying to get there, brothers and sisters, where the majority of our food comes from the garden. All right, friends. Well, God is good. There's no one in the queue. Thank you all for listening to the Fleming's Country Life Experience. May the Lord bless you, keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, and give you peace. It's time to close out. I'll turn it to my wife, Undreamed Of, to close us out at this time.
Let's pray, Father in heaven. We thank you for this time of worship. And now, Lord, as we go about our day, may your spirit continue to abide with us. We pray for every heart on the line, that you have blessed everyone in a special way. And we do ask for special healings to be granted to each one for spiritual, mental, and physical. And we ask, Lord, that you would help us to be convicted of our sins, to have victory, to sin no more, and to be able to live our life faithfully to you. For we know you're coming soon, and may we be a part of the redeemed. For this we pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. At this time, brothers and sisters, we'll have our closing song. It is I Will Trust in the Lord.
I will trust in.